Hi, everybody. It's Coach Heather. I'm going to do some quick housekeeping here while you all are coming in. Why don't you say hi in the chat? Tell me where you're at and what's on your mind for tonight. And if you think you might raise your hand, get coached. I am Coach Heather here to do some life coaching with you. Tonight, life coaching is important to support your weight loss journey. So often, when we look at like what's in the way of weight loss, a lot of times it can be, the way that we think about our relationships. It can be the way that we think about our finances, our professional life, our family life, things like that. And so that's what we're doing tonight. This is open coaching tonight. So this is your chance to raise your hand and get coached. I'm looking for the beautiful Ashley, who will be in here supporting everybody in the chat. Speaking of the chat, just do me a favor right now. Go and look whatever device you're on. If you're on a mobile phone, I think you have to kind of swipe to find the chat. Just look at down at the chat and make sure that that little blue square says everyone. We want to make sure that we can see your chat box and the other people in the chat can't see what you're saying if it says hosts and panelists. Only I can. And when I'm coaching, I don't see that. So I just want to say a quick hi in the chat to Sandy. We've got Boston, Illinois, Vermont. Hi, Sandy. Betty from Minnesota, another Illinois, another Minnesota, Missouri, Michigan, Idaho. Welcome, everybody. Okay, so find that reactions button on the bottom. And once you click that, you'll see that there's an option to raise your hand. And I've got Coach Ashley promoted. In case anything happens to my internet connection, Ashley will still be connected to the call. So we're all set to go. Just a little bit about me. If you're new, I have been with No BS for about 2.5 years. And, I work with private clients inside the No BS one-on-one coaching program. And, I work with clients who want to take their weight loss to the next level. Maybe they have something really specific that they want coaching on. And I just encourage you, if you feel like, now might be the time, just to go check out the one-on-one coaching program. And if it's not, even not right for you right now, like maybe you can make a plan for it to be right for you in the future if that's something that resonates for you. So, okay, everybody. Guess what? It's time for coaching. I am promoting Julie. Here she comes. Hi, Julie.
Oh, I'm always so nervous when you guys call me up.
I know I get nervous too. At least we're both nervous. Look, I have my kava like yogi tea to just like chill my tits for a little bit while I coach everybody.
What I want to get coached on is kind of hard. I'm kind of proud of myself for actually coming on here to get coached in front of everybody on this one. So my husband and I have been married for 7 years, and my family has never liked him. They do their best to get along and to hide that, but my family is not the healthiest. They're pretty toxic
So when you
already.
say family, like specifically, who are you talking about?
Mainly my mom and one of my brothers. So
So
my
mom
mom's been
and
married to
brother.
a man for most of my life, like since I was like three. He's very emotionally abusive, verbally abusive, was physically abusive when I was younger. And she's decided to stay with him. And through those years, she's kind of become, she plays a victim card very well, but she's very emotionally manipulative herself. And then my brother is also kind of emotionally manipulative. So that's like the backstory. And so on the 4th of July, we were over there for the 4th of July, and my son has ADHD. So when he does not have his time regulated very well, so like if he gets free rein of junk food and free rein of electronics, he tends to have a lot more behavior issues. And when he's at grandma's, he gets free rein. And we let him stay over there for like 5 days, which lesson learned, not going to happen again. So by the end of the 4th of July, I went home because it was just too much for me. And Brady, my son, was acting up, and my son corrected him. And my family, like they said, they don't like
Wait,
him.
who
So
corrected your son?
my husband, Luke.
Your husband did. Okay.
Yeah. And they've never really liked how he has parented. And they felt like he was too harsh on him. And so my niece texted me that she did not like, my 17-year-old niece texted me that she did not like how he spoke to Brady and felt like he was being emotionally abusive. And that's a kind of a buzzword and a trigger word.
Yeah, you've already used it yourself a few
Yeah.
times in the call.
So I mean, we're in couples therapy, and we've talked about it a lot. And I've noticed that ever since then, my relationship with my husband has been very strained, and it's almost like they've planted the seed, and now I'm almost looking for the behaviors that support that claim and that seed. And
Okay, so let me ask you a question here. Is the problem what other people think, or is the problem what you think?
a little bit of both.
Okay, well, we got to pick one to coach on. And it's okay to not have it all figured out.
I guess I feel like I am personally not able to get past it. And
Get past what?
I guess I'm not sure how to move on from that. Like I said, this is one thing that we covered in our couples counseling a lot is I do feel like he is harder on our son than he is our daughter. Granted, our son is 3 years older and also has ADHD and tends to be a lot. Sometimes he can be a lot. But I feel like ever since that accusation was made, I guess, I feel like, oh, is that just him being firm, or is that him being abusive? Like I'm having a hard
Okay.
time.
All right. So we've followed the thoughts and the feelings and the other people. And we've sort of like, this is what it's like for everybody listening. When everything just kind of feels terrible and there's a lot of inputs, just start with like, what do I think the problem is? Right. And then you just, if you journal on this, you'll sort of work your way toward what the crux of the issue is, or at least one of them, so you can kind of compartmentalize it and get some clarity on your habits of thinking, right? What you're choosing to think, how that creates your feelings, and how that creates your results. Okay. So if I'm hearing you correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong, you're not sure how you want to think intentionally about the incident on 4th of July? Or is this just about your husband's parenting style more in general?
I think it's more about my husband's parenting style in general. That's kind of been a big topic that we've covered a lot.
Okay. And what has
And
your thought been up until like before 4th of July? What was your point of view on it?
my point of view was that he is harder on my son than our daughter. And my thought is that. Well, is that he he's been working really hard with our couples counseling, and he's made a lot of changes, and he's been like, we've both have been like working on our parenting style and making good changes and
Okay, so we're
progress.
noticing progress from where you started. And how long ago was that, like that you started working on this?
Oh, we've been in therapy for 5 years
Okay. So
working on this.
this has been a long-term goal.
Yeah.
And you are noticing some progress, but you're also noticing some things that you still like want to think on purpose about. So give me your automatic thought that doesn't feel good that you wanted coaching on regarding your husband's parenting style. What did you make 4th of July mean now?
That it's beyond hope, that it's never going to change.
Beyond help or hope, did you say?
Hope.
Beyond hope. And when you think that, what does that feel like?
It feels like shit.
Well, let's try to get a feeling there. So you guys, like when you're here in this place of like it not feeling good, and you connect the thought with the feeling it creates, really try to just stay with it and just be like, if an alien came down and didn't understand human emotions, what is this that I'm feeling when I think this is beyond hope?
Like, how do I feel physically?
What is the emotion? What is the feeling that you feel when you think this is beyond hope?
Hopeless, sad.
Sadness. Yeah, as you see how one sort of programs the other. Okay, so let's look at how this has been playing out. So you've been thinking this for a while because we're now in August. Yeah. So
Yeah.
when you feel hopeless, when you like your mind turns to this new consideration of a thought that's been popping up, and you feel hopeless, like what do you do or not do from that place of hopelessness?
I feel like I don't use the tools that our therapist has given us. I feel
Okay.
like I look for behaviors to support that see
Yeah.
he hasn't changed, see nothing's changed, nothing will change. I start reading into behaviors more, reading into comments more, and which means I start to mama bear more and
Okay. So more like what does that look like?
like intervening instead of just letting
Intervening.
him parent. That's something that we're both trying to work on. He tends to butt in when I'm parenting and vice versa. And that's one thing that we agreed that we were going to work on. And
So,
I
but
noticed.
now that you're thinking this is beyond hope, you're kind of butting in when he's got the ball, so to speak, with the
Yeah.
parenting that's happening. Okay. So you're gathering evidence whether or not this thought could be true. If you want to, like, what haven't I seen? Very normal, very normal. And you're also sort of intervening because why? Why do you suppose you intervene?
I think a lot of it is because I don't want the conflict, which oddly enough causes conflict. But when either of us try to correct our son or try to guide him to different decisions, and he gets really worked up. Like it's a big production anytime we're trying to like do something with him. So
Yeah.
part of me is like trying to intervene with his parenting because I'm trying to avoid their conflict, because then it tends to spill over to me.
Okay. But then when you get involved, just try to think back as much as you can to the last time you sort of intervened. Did it have the desired result that you wanted?
No.
Good to know, right? Really good
Yeah.
to know. This is why it's good to stay with figuring out how you're thinking about it, identifying the feeling, and then seeing, like, when I feel that way, what do I do or not do, right? Because how we feel as human beings always programs or drives our behaviors from the truth of that feeling, right? And a feeling isn't truth. It's just a vibration in your body created by, it's coded to the thinking that created it. Okay, so let's, is there anything else that you think you do or don't do when you're feeling hopeless?
I feel like I tend to kind of throw in the towel. Like, I just kind of give
what does
up
that
on
look
everything.
Like? Is that all in your head? Is it something outward that you do? Like, describe it.
So one is I stop working on the tools that we've been given. So I start interfering more instead of letting him parent and vice versa. And then it does become more mental, like I become more withdrawn. I become more sensitive. Like everything is like, oh, well, it must be my fault, like that this is happening. And I become very like self-derogatory and I just go down the spiral.
So you kind of self-blame. That's interesting, don't you think?
I guess, yeah, it feels like, I feel like it's my responsibility to fix everything. And then when I don't fix it, it's my fault. But then if I do try to intervene and fix it, then I'm making things worse. And it's just, I feel like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to come back to that thought. It's my responsibility to fix everything, but we can at least notice that when that is underneath the surface of what's happening with the parenting and the therapy and trying to figure out what you think about your husband, you know, when you go to this is hopeless and then you feel hopeless, good to know that you have a tendency to turn in on yourself, to self-blame, make it your fault. You didn't fix it. Okay. And that now probably has ancillary results as well. So when you turn in on yourself and you self-blame, what else happens?
I become more defensive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have to defend every movement or every decision I make. And I start to second guess every decision I make.
And you can see how a human, even if this is you feeling blamed by you, you start to get defensive, right? Because we don't, like, blame doesn't feel good. It feels terrible. Yeah. So does hopelessness. Okay, so let's go back. Now that you see, and this is what a coach does, everybody. A coach shows you how what you choose to think about your world creates sentences in your mind, which then create feelings. And then from those feelings, we have actions or inactions that create results in our life. So when you think this is hopeless, you create that result by looking for evidence of it in the world.
Yeah.
And by turning in on yourself, because you're asking yourself the impossible, which is to fix something that, you know, is just, maybe it's not solvable, because kids get disciplined by their parents, right? There's no kid that doesn't get disciplined. What we're talking about is, like, how do we want to do that? And that's not a problem to be fixed. It's a process, right? And that's what you're already doing. You've been, I mean, look what you've created. You've gone to therapy. You've invested a lot of time, effort, you know, a lot of work into this. And so I just want to bring you back to this thought, like, this is hopeless. Do you think that that's really true? I mean, this is your place to be really honest. Do you want to think that?
No, I don't want to think it. And I try so hard to find the thought that hits home, that lands, to counteract that thought, because I do see the progress that he and I have both made. And I do see the tools that we've been given that do work versus don't work. And I do see that when we do those things, things are better. And I try to tell myself that, and I've been trying to like almost like chant it to myself this last month, but it's almost like there's just native seed has been planted, and I cannot seem to shake it.
And this is like, here's what I want to offer you. This is the nature of being human. We have periods of time, whether you're trying to lose weight or work on your parenting with your husband, with your kid, where we have focus, we have intentional actions, we have a result that we're working for and it's hard work, and then we doubt. It's human to doubt. It's normal to doubt. That's not the problem. The problem is when you accept a thought, an automatic thought that your brain is offering you, is this hopeless? What if that's a question rather than a statement? And you're like inner Julie. She wants to know, is this hopeless? Is what my parents think true? Is this what all the feedback is with my, what is it, your brother? Do I want to think this? Because, our perspective on the world is something that we get to reinforce every day by choice. And for you, you might need to do that and redecide every morning. This is not hopeless. Just because there's issues or things that we feel as though are challenging, or it feels like a backslide, or even in weight loss when we have a gain, right? It doesn't mean that what the parts that are working aren't working. It's just an opportunity to like do some troubleshooting. I mean, how does that sound for you? Does that
That
sound, does
actually
that
feels,
resonate?
that really did resonate because I think changing it from a statement to a question that now I'm answering, like that, it no longer feels like I'm trying to do an automatic, like I'm actually like kind of bringing more attention to it. Like, well, is it hopeless? And it's kind of stopping me to actually think and answer versus just trying to regurgitate positive thoughts.
Yeah, it's like when our brain thinks the most painful thing, which it's its job to do. Its job is to point out any potential dangers or problems in life. I mean, our habit brain is designed to just only care about keeping us alive. So anything that is painful, it's going to be like, oh, look, what about that? What about that? What about that? And it's more like, hey, are you aware of this? Like, because I'm doing my job over here as a habit brain, but I can't do any critical thinking whatsoever. I need your manager brain to come in with CEO energy, look at this issue, and then give me direction about how I want to think about this. If you want a different thought, and this is what I want to really reiterate. I mean, if you had said to me, you know what? I do think this is hopeless. Then I would want you to keep that thought because
Right.
that would be the truth for you. But that's not the case, right?
Yeah, it's
So,
not the
no,
case.
it's not the case. And so, when it's not true, this is your opportunity to make it a question and then create evidence by getting in there, continuing to work with your tools.
Okay.
Even though it's hard.
Thank you. That really helped.
I hope so. Okay, so you stay with what you know is true. It's got to resonate like a tuning fork, those thoughts. When they're just fear-based thoughts, just look at them. Just be like, let me look at you. Do I want to think this? Because no automatic thought that pops up in your head that isn't considered, that isn't really like put through questions, good hard questions, isn't put through your value system. They do deserve a lot of questioning. And then you get to like sort of shape them into the direction you want your brain using for you. So if that's the case, let's create a power thought from your shitty one, which is, I'm figuring out how to still have hope. That's a good one. That will get your brain like, okay, how can I look for evidence that there's hope? Right? I can't forget about my tools. What about this last week? And what about this the other week? Because when I'm so focused on problems, I don't see the progress and I don't see the wins. And, that's the nature of focus. When you look so hard for something, when you look for the problem, is why when we lose something, we're like, I can't find it. I can't find it. I can't find it. And guess what? You don't find it. Because your brain is proving it true to you. We can't find this. See, I've looked everywhere. You got to kind of change the focus to, I wonder where it is, and get your brain working for you. Okay. So work with hope in a way that feels, at a minimum, a relief from what you've been feeling. Put all those stuff through the four ends. Carry it with you, have the worksheet with you all the time. Maybe Coach Ashley can put it in the chat for you. Do you have the four ends worksheet?
No.
Okay, so the four ends is our process for how to work through a better feeling thought. It's exactly what I did with you.
Right.
It's like,
Okay.
it's condensed. It doesn't take this long to go through it. But anytime you have a thought that like doesn't feel good and it doesn't feel true, it's just like really in the way, use the four ends process. That's what it's there for. Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. I'll put you back down. Okay. Let's see. Who else wants coaching? No one has their hand raised. Come on, raise your hands. We can't quit this call after 26 minutes. Go down to reactions and then raise hand. Am I not seeing? Ashley, am I not seeing hands? I don't see any hands. Come on. I know it's nerve-wracking to come up here. I promise I don't bite. What if this changes everything? What if you raising your hand here changes your whole journey? All right, I'm gonna have to end the call. I don't have anything prepared for y'all. Okay, stay safe. Stacy's coming up, and then we have Kari. Thank you for being brave and raising your hands.
But you recently coached me, so I didn't want to, like, step
Hey,
on other people's toes. But if,
listen, the
hey.
person who raises their hand gets the coaching. That's how it works these days. So I'm happy to coach you again. Nice to see you.
Hi. So you had coached me on when the assessment first started,
Yep.
the whole new assessment thing. And I had talked about future me, and we sort of dug down and. Sorry, I'm just going to turn the my air conditioner fan is really loud. And dug down and helped me sort of pinpoint that I have sleep issues, which are related to stress that I have about making decisions.
Okay.
And you had given me in the Ask Coaches a whole way
Oh,
to
yes.
decision making. And
Yes.
what I need today is help on not doing that. Like, even my
Because you
accountability
had,
partner.
didn't you have a bunch of thoughts about your job or something that were keeping you up
Yeah.
at night?
My job is very frustrating. And like I'm getting migraines now at work. And it's not, there's nothing abusive. It's just really a frustration. A fierce frustration with being dismissed, mostly patronized or dismissed or not listened to.
Okay. So, all right, what do you want coaching on?
So what I need coaching on is that you gave me the decision-making process and I haven't done it
And the
because there's.
decision was to decide, decision-making process, I believe, was for you to decide if you were going to leave your job or not, right?
If I'm going to leave my job and my area and move and do something else. Because I have an
Okay.
opportunity in, within the next 6 months or so I can make a decision to move, and I will have some place to live while I'm getting myself together, where I won't have to pay rent. And like, I have a situation that's good on the other end if I elect to go that way. On the other hand, it means moving away from my family, and starting all over again, which at 60 is not the easiest thing in the world to do. And
okay,
so I've avoided.
So you kind of decided you want to move, but the choices of where to move, you sort of feel conflicted about. Is that?
No, I haven't made that decision yet.
Okay.
I moved 4 years ago into a new living situation and a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after having been in the same house for 25 years and the same job for, 15, and I had to get out of that job.
Mm-hmm.
Too many things, the company had been bought 3 times and nothing was the same.
Okay.
And I did that and I worked out fine.
So why haven't you decided?
Because I'm kind of afraid that if I decide, then I'll have to act on it. Like, I'm so used to having things happen sort of by accident.
Oh,
well, we have
so
a
if
new
I
place.
Do this on purpose and I decide on purpose I want to leave.
Yeah.
Then I'm
it's nerve-wracking.
Like, if things don't work out, what?
I'm worried that then it's all my fault if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
I
Okay,
moved,
so let me just work with you on this. Let's just go right to it. We don't need to, I get it.
And my accountability partner has, asked me every day, did you do that yet? I'm like, no.
Well, I mean, let me give you this perspective. And for anybody listening, if you know what you want to do, but you're kind of like not doing it, it is because you're not fully sold on the thing you want to do. And the best place that you can start is to just list all the reasons why you also don't want to do the thing that on this side you do want to do. You see, you're split.
Yeah.
You have split value. That's what I call it. Split value. So name for me the reasons why you want to leave. Just keep them short and succinct. Name as many as you possibly can.
Job is very difficult. Not to do, but just to be at. I'm living in the city where it's reasonably nice and green where I am, but there are too many people. It's too light. There's too much noise. I left here 25 years ago for a reason. Where I would move to is nice and open. I don't really have many friends here after 4 years. I haven't been able to figure that out. I need to think about what I'm going to be doing in the future. I can't really retire. I have to continue working. But where do I want to be when I'm doing all of that? Because the older I get, the harder it is to get a new job or find new places to work.
Right.
I mean,
so are you saying that you could move without securing a job first?
Yes. Within reason, because
right,
I don't have savings.
Right.
So, I'll still have bills to pay and insurance and COBRA. I can't just throw myself somewhere else and go, okay, now
right.
what?
So why don't you just wait to decide until you have a new job?
Yeah.
Why are you torturing yourself?
Because I like that, I guess.
Listen, I'm not going to do any fancy coaching here with you. Like, your nervous system is like, we have all these good reasons, but without knowing what job it is and if I'm going to like it, that's too many unknowns to just pack up and move. And if you make that the contingency for moving and you're highly motivated to leave the job, you will be a motivated job seeker to find the job that you like in order to move.
I mean, I'm somewhere above, say, 60 or 70% that I can find a job in my field.
Okay.
Whether I can get paid what I need to get paid is a different question, because once I leave New York, pay scales go down, but so do
right.
other expenses. So
right. Yes. And so this is the trade-off, right?
Yeah.
So you can move now and get pretty immediate relief from this job and the city that you don't like, right? That's solved, but now you have uncertainty for and pressure on the other side for like, what job is it going to be? What's it going to pay? You know, am I going to like it?
Yeah.
Or you can have the upfront discomfort of the job you know and try to find that certainty of the job on the other side and the place you want to move to.
Yeah.
So which one do you want?
I'm waiting.
Pick one. What would it be?
Today?
Yeah.
I would stay where I am.
Okay.
I mean, there's no super immediacy to making the decision. I can't put it off forever, but I have a while.
Let me ask you this, Stacey. What is the benefit of hedging around with this decision?
Because then I don't have to throw myself into anything.
Right. You know, I mean,
I know.
For the members listening, I see you guys doing this shit all the time with, oh my God, I have an urge. Let me write about it.
I did really good with an urge today.
About it. Like, just either allow the urge or like own the choice to overeat. And then you do the discovery worksheet about it. Don't waste time, right? Making things harder than they have to be.
No, and I'm a full in on that when it isn't me necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, just either do it or don't make a decision.
But when it's you, it's totally different story, right?
I do kind of fall into things. Not that I didn't apply for the job that I have now and go to the interview and get the job and everything. But yeah. it was like, well, you know, I had already moved here and I was working at my old job, which was 70 miles away. Mm-hmm. And that commute was enough to motivate you pretty quickly, especially.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and this is what I was saying about your choice here. So you can use the motivation of the discomfort of where you're at to push through the hard parts of doing what you don't want to do, right? Securing that job on the other side, say, right? But I don't want your brain to sell you a bill of goods, which is, if I just get out of here, everything's going to be rosy.
No. My personality wouldn't allow that.
Yeah. Your brain will immediately go to work on where's the job, where's the income, how much is it going to pay? Oh shit. Now what? So it's like a lot of times our brain has us believing that there's some ticket out of discomfort, and there never is.
No, I don't ever think there is. I think,
yeah,
I always,
okay. Well, you're onto your brain.
I look at the worst case scenario. So it's hard for me to see something and look at what great things could happen. I'm always the person who says, yeah, but.
Right. Okay. So that's good to know. Like that's what I would do every day. And so this is your coach homework. Every day that when you make your plan, I want you to program in your brain what you're deciding that day to do. I'm staying here and I'm looking for a job, or I'm making an exit plan today. You decide on purpose. No more indulging in overwhelm or indecision, right? Because it just slows you down.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I stay where I am, which is
right. To stay stuck.
In between nowhere.
Right. You deserve to have clarity and agency over the life that you're choosing, even when you're in between things. Okay. You're doing amazing.
All right.
You stick with it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Nice to see you, Stacey.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Kari. Kari's coming up. Is it Kari?
Hello. Is it Kari?
It's Carrie.
Oh, Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi,
I think you're amazing, by the way. And my husband's here too. We're both listening.
Hi, husband.
Hi, husband.
He's waving. So, we have a 22-year-old, very intelligent, very kind, neurodivergent son that is having a failure to launch issue, or rather, yeah, it's an issue. We have a lot of thoughts around it. A lot of thoughts.
Okay. So what's the problem?
So the problem is that we would like help with is helping with those thoughts.
Okay. So let's take it back.
Because we do, we tend to catastrophize. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just start there. That's super fun. Let's go to worst case scenario. What's the worst thing that could happen?
Well, on my list of worst case scenario, it is we're going to be paying his rent. And he's not going to be working. He's been playing video games all by himself in an apartment that we're going to have to pay for the rest of our lives.
Oh, I thought your worst case scenario would be that he would still be at home. But you're saying, well, no, so let's say he like partially launches. We're supporting him. But he's not working or like invested.
We won't allow. We made an agreement that we're not allowing him to stay in our house.
Let me ask you, Carrie. Am I on two devices in your house?
Yeah.
Can you turn one off, please?
Yep.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, there was an echo. It's gone now. Thank you. So go back to what you were saying.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So
sorry about that.
Your worst case scenario was he gets an apartment, but he's not working and he's playing video games all day.
Yeah. He's not living his best life.
Right.
And then we're financially on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will just add in my husband's worst case is actually that he's living on the street, that he's OD'd somewhere. And
just like every other parent's worst nightmare, right? Yeah. But is that a concern for your son that you legitimately have?
I don't believe that he will. No, I believe he has too many support. That we have a huge support network in place.
Okay.
For him.
Okay. So I'm just going to recommend that you stop freaking out your nervous system by going to the living on the street scenario. Let's constrain it to in an apartment, video games all day. Okay. So that's what your mind is chewing on is this problem.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So where are you at with solving this problem?
Solving the problem.
Yeah.
So right now we have him in an apartment, which we are paying for, that the lease expires in a month.
Okay.
He just recently got a very part-time job. And we're talking to him about how to be self-sufficient and get his own apartment, and that we could possibly help a little. Well, we haven't actually even said that, to be honest. We've been just talking to him about how that is, and the thought that create our hopeless feelings in those are because, like, he was offered a full-time job. He didn't take it. He didn't. He was absent from one day of work, and this is a very new job.
So when you think my son has a failure to launch, kind of like the first person I coached, now your brain is looking for evidence that there is in fact a failure to launch, like that this could go to worst case scenario. So is there, all right, I want you to see this. You have a son who is working part-time.
Yes.
And is that what you make mean? He's having a failure to launch?
No, we've been told that by his therapist.
Is someone else's thought?
It's her thought, but we definitely agree.
Okay, so it's your thought then.
Yeah.
So you agree with it?
We do agree.
That him working part-time and having 1 month on his apartment lease left is a failure to launch.
Yeah. There are other examples, but yeah.
Okay. So when you think my son is having a failure to launch, how does that feel?
Yeah. It sucks, actually.
Well, name the feeling. See if you can.
So the feeling is, even just thinking that he has a failure to launch, it makes me feel sad for him. It makes me feel hopeless. It makes me feel frightened, scared, I guess.
Okay, pick the dominant feeling. Just try it scared. On. My I son has scared. A failure to launch. Feels scary.
Yeah. Okay. It does. Actually.
All right. So.
Yeah, I can feel it in my chest.
Yeah. That's so good to like locate where it's at because this sort of codes it for you to notice when it feels like this, you will know I'm thinking thoughts that are creating scared for my son. Now you got to know that when you think in ways that make you feel scared, you're going to have a nervous system response to that. Human beings are the only species that can create their own fight or flight response just by how we choose to think in our own self-talk, in our own minds.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a limitation to what we're able to do or not do when our nervous system is dysregulated or we're in emotional dysregulation.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, this is all good to know. And so let's peel it back to fact. I have a son who's neurodivergent. He has a part-time job and he has 1 month left on his lease.
Yeah.
How does that feel when you just pull it back to facts?
It still scares me.
What scares you about anything that I just said that's factual?
The 1 month left on the lease.
Okay. So that's good to know too. See how you just did like a barometer reading for each one of them? And then ding, ding, it's the 1 month left on the lease. Okay. So what does your son want to do?
He wants to get a studio apartment and live by himself. That is what he wants to do.
Okay. And do you and your I got to coach you, right? You're the only one I'm coaching. So I'm going to talk to you. What do you think about that? Do you agree? Do you disagree?
So what scares me about that is he already knows, he said that he will need a cosigner. And that we will, you know, get stuck with, again, the financial ramifications.
Did you agree to pay for this last lease that's now ending?
Yes.
Is that the agreement?
Yes. It was only 3 months, I think. Three or four months.
Okay. Okay.
It was kind of a test to show that he can get the job and live by himself. And, you know, and he has been doing very well with that.
Did he meet your expectations with the 3 months? He did. Yeah. Okay. So when you get scared, just like when we get on the scale and the scale says something we don't want, I want you to go back to your data. Don't let a thought about what's happening dysregulate you emotionally. Go back to the facts. We did a test. It was a few months. There were some expectations and he did meet them.
Yeah.
So now I have a choice and my son has choices too. So is there any scenario in which you would be willing to co-sign? This is really the crux of the decision. Like, you've got to decide, is that something you're willing to do?
Yes. I think we'd have to put parameters around it that we'd only be financially liable if he were in a mental health issue.
Okay.
You know, then we'd pick up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
An episode, yeah.
And I would definitely describe specifically what that would look like.
Yes.
So he knows exactly when that is happening and when it's not happening. So he knows what his responsibilities are. Is he willing to pay the rent?
Can he
afford it working at the job?
No, not okay. The, not right
so
now.
That is something that's, it's an if this, then that situation.
Yeah.
So if you make enough to pay the rent, then we will co-sign.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that right. What you want?
Yes.
Okay. What are the negative consequences of that?
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think there are any. I think if he was making enough and to pay the rent, then yes, we would co-sign.
Okay. So this would be another way for you to be like, all right, well, you proven this part. Now here's your second task. You're like giving him a journey, like a task, like Lord of the Rings. Like, you gotta go out there now and you gotta get a job that will pay for your rent.
Yeah.
And then like specify like how long he has to have the job for. Then you go get the apartment. Is that how you want to do it? Or do you want to be like, you get the job, we'll get you the apartment right away? Like, what do you think makes sense?
I suppose it might be right away.
Okay.
I think the time frame does get me a little nervous because he is, you know, he's our kid and, when he lives with us, it just doesn't go well for any of us. And so,
so everybody's highly motivated.
Yeah. And so that's good. That's enjoyed,
such a nice thing,
you know, living by himself, you know,
that's great. Well, there's a lot that you all have going for you, your son, you, your husband, like everybody seems to kind of want the same thing.
That's true. You're right. Yep.
So, go back to your original thought. Now that you've kind of logically gone back to facts, you've sort of done like if this, then that scenarios, and you kind of like pulled out the solutions.
Yep.
Do you want to still keep thinking my son has a failure to launch?
No, I don't.
Absolutely not. Like, that's a hoser.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I honestly didn't realize.
Let's turn it around like we did before. How about like, my son is about to launch and this is so exciting that it's a little scary. Kind of like a roller coaster, right? Like, everyone gets off the roller coaster like, but before they're like, oh no, this is terrible.
Yeah.
They're like shades of a difference.
Yeah.
It should be kind of scary, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think he is scared too. So yeah.
So fear in this way can really be like a signal, like, hey, pay attention. This is important, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is your chance to be afraid and then stand in that mama bear energy for your son.
Yeah.
Just model to him your fierce belief that he can do it.
Yeah.
What's the downside?
Well, the downside, if I continue to think a failure to launch situation, well, yes. Like you said earlier, what are the things you're doing? The things that I'm doing is not being there emotionally for him, mm-hmm. because I get triggered.
Yeah. Because you're feeling sad and hopeless.
Yeah.
When you think that.
Well, and I'm looking for that evidence, like you said, you know.
Right. And so, and I'm like, make the thought into a question. Does he have a failure to launch? Is that actually what's happening? Yeah. Like, if that's not what we want, let's not collect evidence. Let's figure out how to help him launch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's just a slight change in perspective. Okay.
Yeah. This is amazing. Thank you.
I'm so glad. How really lucky are you to have a kid who's like wants to live on his own and, you know, like met your expectations, and look at the hearts and the.
I know. I see. Yeah.
You get to feel good about this. You get to make it easy. There will be hard times. Of course, there will be setbacks. There will be disappointment, but just because maybe they're coming doesn't mean you need to feel that now. You get to stay in this liminal space between not quite launched and launched, and have it be exciting and like really enjoy your son.
I agree completely.
Okay. Thank you for raising your hand to get coached.
My husband says thank you too.
Tell him I said you're welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. I'll put you back down.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. We got 4 minutes. I don't know. Can I coach someone for 4 minutes? Let's see. Let's ask Susan. I mean, I'll go just a couple of minutes over, but it's a 1 hour call. So let's see what Susan has to say. Here she comes. Susan, you're muted.
Okay.
I can't see your face.
I know. I don't know what's going on. Can I just talk to you?
You can. But here's the thing. We have like 4 or 5 minutes at most. You want to do some speed coaching? Let's try it.
Okay. First of all, you coached me at the beginning of the summer. We did a summer protocol for me getting along with my daughter.
Okay.
And she's going to college in a week, and we haven't hurt each other. Actually, we're getting along pretty well. So I wanted to thank you for that.
I am so happy to hear that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I am too. It's been a good summer. And when I asked her how come this summer was better than last, she said, well, you've changed. So I attribute that to no BS and some of the work that I've been doing. Real quickly, after I rewatched Sunday's call, and it was the last person that Corinne talked to, and it was about the future self.
Okay.
And I'm realizing that I do have a pretty idealized future self.
Okay.
I mean, she is on top of her game, you know, healthy, active. She's pretty perfect. And then Corinne was talking to the person about, no, your future self is, you know, it's not that. All the shit is still going to happen.
Yep.
Life is going to be life. And I've been trying to process that because I was like, oh, crap.
Well, I mean, in what way? Like, what is this slightly shifted perspective that Corinne gave you on future self? How is that like problematic? Like, what's it bumping into?
Well, I think I just finished started watching the Big Ass Action videos, and it Sunday was a day where I was kind of pumped up and ready to go at it and get back into the swing of things and. Mm-hmm. I started training for a 5K and I'm really excited. And then when Corinne was talking, it was like, oh, this is what I feel now, but it's not always going to feel like that.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of like, oh, I don't know. It, it took a little bit of the wind out of my sails.
Okay. Let me offer you this. What if, let me think about this, your future self in her imperfectness has allowed the imperfect moments to totally be okay.
Okay.
What comes up for you when I say that?
That feels okay. I can add that to my list of.
All right. Here's my hunch in our quick coaching call, and I don't have time to kind of walk you through.
That's okay.
Sense of it is that when you're not pumped up and you're not having a motivated day, you make that mean this is why I can't get where I want to go.
And what I want to harder.
What's that?
It's definitely harder.
Right. But when you see the challenges, the stuckness, the mess ups as an opportunity to learn how to meet your needs better, allow yourself to be human, allow yourself to lose focus, to be stuck for a minute, but you just close that loop so that the stuckness doesn't take years, months, weeks. But we start shrinking it down to like days or even hours or even minutes. Because the truth is, let's take working out, right? You have goals to work out. The person who is the most consistent worker outer has days, yes, where they go in, they're like, let's do this. Like I'm killing it today. And she still goes in on the days that it's a grudge match with her brain, but she doesn't listen or make the grudge match mean it's a problem. She doesn't mean I'm failing. She doesn't make it mean I'm not my future self. She says, fuck yeah, this is future me caring more about how I feel on the other side of working out than I care about my reluctance to do the work.
Okay. So the thought could be, okay, this is how I feel right now. And it's not going to stop me. It's just how I feel right now.
Yeah.
And we'll just ride the wave or ride whatever. And then,
yeah.
And that's what I've been trying to do, but it was just hard to hear that Sunday.
Well, but it's not. We come back to the perspective change, which is when I'm not motivated to do the things that I know I need to do, stop it enough, wait for hunger, what have you. I allow that to be hard and I don't make it mean shit about me. This is part of maintenance, is not wanting to put your fork down, is having urges at night. They all still happen at maintenance. You just don't make them a big deal anymore. You don't let that automatic thought mean you're failing. You make it mean, oh, I'm human. There's that habit brain doing its thing again, but I know what's important to me. It can be hard. It's fine. Even my future self has hard days. I don't let it stop me.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you, speed coach. Hold on.
You're making soup. Let it marinate. Let the flavors come together. Okay.
I will. You gave me something good to journal about, but I mostly wanted to thank you for the protocol help. It really made the summer much better.
I'm so glad to hear that, Susan. Thank you for raising your hand to get coached. I'm going to bring you back.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much. I love life coaching with all of you. Thank you for joining me. And, you know, make some notes before you leave. You know, your spot right now, make some notes about like any takeaways that you took away from this call and how you can apply it to whatever is sort of front of mind for you and see, you know, how you can apply it and, you know, stay focused. Okay. Ashley, thank you for being an amazing, thank you for congratulating me on my book. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk soon. Bye.